Hey, welcome to the Felt Recoil Podcast. This is episode number 150. Rendition 150 of the Felt Recoil Podcast. Glad you are here. So grateful that you take the time to download and listen to this little thing we do every week inside of the home office headquarters. Thanks. Much appreciated. Sorry, by the way, I got two housekeeping things. One, sorry for the audio quality of last week's episode. I was so irritated at myself for the mistake I made that caused that to happen because it was, I think, the best conversation that has been had with Stump ever as a Felt Recoil podcast. It was extraordinary. I thought it was so good. And then afterwards, there was this weird processing thing. That was my fault. I did something wrong. And it had this effect on it as if we were on the phone together the whole time. But anyway, sorry about that. Housekeeping tidbit number two. If you're seeing out-of-order episodes pop up for download, we are still transitioning off of the platform we used to pay for to this platform, Anchor, that is free for us to use. You hear the Anchor commercial at the top of this. That's in exchange for the platform being free, kind of the deal they have. And so we're trying to get the entire archive onto Anchor. And if you're seeing, you know, episode, I think 100 or something, maybe 99-ish, somewhere back into there being uploaded now, and you think, why am I seeing this? Well, that's why. We have to get everything off of the service we paid for so we don't have to pay for that service anymore. We can get it all onto Anchor. So if you're seeing that, that's what's happening. My name's Chris. I think you probably know that at this point. If you don't, there it is. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. If you would, if it's your first time here, subscribe, leave a review of however you feel about me once all is said and done here, even if you hate it. And if you do hate it, don't forget that you can find us on Anchor and you can leave an audio message that we will play on this podcast and your voice can be heard too. But if you'll leave that review and then maybe you'll tell a friend, man, this guy's a moron. You have to hear the stupidity. It's a train wreck. Enjoy. Just tell that friend that they can download and make up their own mind. Even though you, my friend, you tainted the well before they could get there. That's not fair for you to do, but you did it anyway. But they can still come and they can listen and we'll see how they feel about it all. That would be most appreciated as well. Okay, a lot to get to in the program. Here's a first. It shouldn't be the first, but it's going to be the first. Yours truly is this week's VODA of the week because of a... It's not fair to call it disastrous because of my belief system. It could have been much, much worse. But I made a mess of 4th of July. I'll put it that way. I made a mess of 4th of July, and I'll tell you the entire story once we get to the other stuff we have to get to. I'll be the voter. It could have been Joe Biden, but Joe Biden, President Biden, gave such an impassioned and tyrannical 4th of July speech, and I love irony, and I just thought we have to highlight what he said, his people's response to what he was saying. I'll get to it in a minute. We're going to talk about his speech. We're going to talk also about a lot of things via hypocrisy that are happening around the country right now. You remember Gwen Berry, who I think we hinted at when Stump was here? She is the woman who has the opportunity to represent the United States of America in the Olympics. But she doesn't love America because America is racist. That's her problem with America, systemic racism. How can we get rid of America's systemic racism? How dare you play the national anthem in her presence? You did it on purpose. Don't mess with her. These are all things she said, by the way. These are all things she said. Well, turns out there is a racist in the room, and it's not us. It's not us. It's her. It's her. She's very, very racist. Extremely racist. And that's funny to me because she said she hates racists. Well, look in the mirror. And her old tweets have surfaced, and they prove all this to be true. So we'll dive into those. And then Marvel going woke with Captain America again. Again, somewhere around 10 years ago it was. Yeah, I think it was 2011-ish, 2010, is that right? Right in the middle of Obama. You might remember Captain America went to the southern border to stop the American, what's the word I'm looking for? They call themselves Minutemen, the border watchers. They go out there and they guard the border. They're basically little militias, and they have every right to do what they do, by the way. I just can't remember the phrase I was looking for. But anyway, he belittled them and the Tea Party, and Marvel used that as an opportunity to say that patriotism is Nazism. Well, they're at it again. They've got a whole new run of Captain American comics coming, and Captain America is going to tell us how much of a Nazi we all are. But we'll get to that momentarily. First, let's talk President Biden. Did you watch his speech? It's like it's like I had this uncle who once got up at a family event, and he decided he would graciously fill us all in on his belief system and how he and his wife, and this is what he said, and this isn't my synopsis of it, he literally made the case that he and his wife had reached a higher plateau of evolution than the rest of us. Her more so than him, he would say. And part of his reasoning for that was that they didn't harm animals. And he was encouraging the rest of us to reconsider our position on the way we treat animals and the creatures of the world. And that was awkward. It was a weird thing because you could tell nobody in the room agreed with him. They all kind of wondered what was bringing it on, felt a little bad for him. But he was a nice guy, so you just let him talk. Did ask him a couple of questions that didn't make sense to me. You know, I've always wondered if evolution is real, why give the other species a chance to eradicate you? Why not kill them first? There's really no reason to let the grizzly run wild if we, the people, are evolving and we must maintain our position in the evolutionary chain. There's a lot of weird things in my mind that don't add up when people say, I believe in evolution and I'm a vegetarian, or whatever other hippy-dippy stuff they come up with to say that evolution, the point is, we wouldn't be here. If evolution were real and we had to survive those millions of years and we believed the way some of these people believe, we wouldn't be here today, right? Couldn't have happened. There's a strong case to be made that that's what caused dinosaurs to go extinct, right? Is if they were killing humans. Humans knew they were vulnerable. We have the opportunity to reason, something animals do not have. And so we would get together as Neanderthal, as we may have been at the time, and we would eradicate dinosaurs to preserve the species. And that I can get down with. I understand why that makes sense. But, you know, had old Hal the hippie been back there with the cavemen, he'd have been like, well, wait a second. I know this 6-foot-long scorpion hybrid thingamajigger, the T-Rex scorpion, could kill us all in just a matter of one stomp of the foot. But I believe we need to evolve to a higher purpose in life, and we need to gently encourage this thing, the T-Rex scorpion, to move along its way. Hal would have been eaten by his tribe members quickly, and rightfully so. So anyway, that stuff has always made me laugh. That's what my uncle, that was his tirade, not even a tirade, that's negative connotation. He was very nice about it. He wasn't being mean. He was a nice guy. But he just wanted us to understand his point of view, and I couldn't get my head around it. I think I understood what he was saying. I couldn't understand how it logically concluded in and of itself. So anyway, that's what Joe Biden reminds me of, is my old uncle telling us why the 4th of July is important. If you saw the Peter Ducey, Jen Psaki back and forth over 16 cent saved off of the 4th of July cookout, Biden was about that awkward with his 4th of July speech. He made it all about progress after COVID-19, and it's just funny. It's just funny, and it's easy to pick apart. He's in the he's out front of the White House. I'm not sure exactly what portion of the White House he's on. I think he's on the White House lawn. And he's just standing there, and he can't even read the teleprompter. He can't form a coherent thought on his own. Yet, here's the leader of the free world. And The second thing that strikes me, by the way, about this that I wanted to say is I remember being in a church one time, and the government was there, and the one of the preachers or whomever announced that the city council or county council, whatever form of government they were, that the entire body of this government entity was there, and they stood and they were applauded, not by me, and I found it incredibly troubling. Seriously, I was troubled by it, and out loud I said, "What are we doing? What are we doing? Why are we applauding these people in a church? It's backwards. That is bass ackwards. The government doesn't come into a church and get applauded, especially, by the way, in the day, and this was pre-COVID, but now, never. Like, these are the people who shut your churches down. They didn't go to bat for you. They didn't fight for your church to remain open during COVID, and some of the churches, most of the churches, cowered to it out of fear. They said, "Well, we're afraid of this. We don't know what to do. God won't protect us. Just close the church." That's how it comes across. And they gave in, and they'd allowed people like DeSantis in Florida, who's suddenly a hero of conservatives who haven't really, in my opinion, paid attention over the last year, that these governors have seized power at every opportunity. There's only one exception, and you're going to hear from her in a minute. There's only one exception of a governor who, tooth and nail, said the power belongs to the people. The people will choose if they wear masks. The people will choose if the businesses should be shuttered. The people will choose if commerce can commence during a pandemic. She did that. She did that. Nobody else did. Nobody else did. Everybody, and especially in South Carolina, good grief. Our governor, he did everything he could to take everything he could, and then now tries to act like, "Well, I'm for these things. By the way, don't forget DeSantis in Florida. They raised the minimum age to buy an AR-15 to 21 simply because of the way the gun looks. It's a very ignorant viewpoint of firearms, and it is quite simply antithetical to the Second Amendment. Your right as an individual to keep and bear arms cannot be infringed, and that right is guaranteed to you as an adult in America. Every individual has those rights in America. The argument could be made that, legally speaking, we have this framework where your rights are granted for your life, but certain rights are restricted until age appropriate, which we can have that conversation later. Even the Second Amendment, by the way, in most areas, you can gift your child a gun at certain ages that are much less than the buying age. I believe in South Carolina, you're allowed to own a handgun at 18 if it's gifted to you by a parent. But I digress. We'll get into that at another time if we need to. The whole point here is DeSantis is no friend of constitutional individual liberty. The people have the power, and the people have the right to choose, and the people have a right to keep and bear arms. They shouldn't have to be permitted to buy guns. They shouldn't have to wait 3 days to buy guns. That's ridiculous. There's a 3-day wait period for firearms in Florida. If you want to buy a gun today because some nitwit came by your house and threatened you and said, "I'm coming back tonight to kill you and your family," Florida says, "Too bad, you have to wait. Too bad you have to wait. You couldn't go to the gun store because your ex-boyfriend showed up at your house and choked you and slammed you into a wall and then made bail at midnight. You couldn't go buy a firearm today to defend yourself. Florida says you have to wait. The best you could do is hope that someone around you would loan you the firearm or come and protect you." And that's ridiculous. That is, in my opinion, a violation of basic human rights by the state of Florida. So I think DeSantis is a nice guy. I don't want to harp on him too hard. I've said here I would vote for him if he was given the nomination. But when the opportunity presented itself, DeSantis seized every bit of power he could within the confines of the law of Florida. And I don't think that's right. I'm sure the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, could have done the exact same thing. She chose not to. She's been the only unwavering flag in this scenario. She's the one that should be looked at as a real legitimate candidate for the next presidential election. But it looks like DeSantis is going to get all that attention. And if Trump comes in, we're in even more trouble. Anyway, too much of that. Here's what I'm telling you. Noem's going to have her say in a minute, and it's going to tie into what Biden is saying. And I'm just, and back to the government, by the way, being applauded in the church. That's what got me on the DeSantis tangent there. The government comes into the church and they get applauded, and I think that's sick. That's a really weird, I know it's polite behavior. Here's the government, let's applaud them. But no, they're the government. I mean, out of principle, you just don't. You say, hey, you know, if you guys were still a volunteer force, if you weren't paid a penny to do what you do, if you did it on your own dime because you actually wanted to be a civil servant, then yeah, yeah, you get a round of applause from me. But you guys are making money. You're cutting deals. There's kickbacks. We all know it, and it needs to stop, and you need to defund yourselves. And they won't do it. And they're all absolute power corrupts absolutely, and there's just – there's a few good ones out there. Anyway, the body politic does not deserve applause inside of the church. And that's how I felt watching Biden speak. It was the same uncomfortable, uneasy feeling as he said, basically, subjects, you are now free to roam. And the people around him applauded. It was the most incredible thing. Give it a listen.
The 4th of July is a day of special celebration. For we are emerging from the darkness of years, a year of pandemic and isolation,
idiot,
a year of pain, fear, and heartbreaking loss. Just think back to where this nation was a year ago.
Right. Okay, pause here. All of that stuff, the heartbreak, the pain, the fear, and the loss, all of it, the government's fault. All of it. It was all the government. Because Trump was doing everything he could to shut down the border and to keep people out who might bring it here. And politicians and the media coordinated together to paint him as a racist for doing that. Nancy Pelosi, never forget, going to Chinatown and saying, get out in the street, get out in the street, be around people. With a virus we now know, it can be spread through personal contact, But she encouraged it because they wanted to continue to seize power. Anyway, here goes Biden.
Think back to where you were a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how far we've come from silent streets.
Right. Here's the applause. That's weird.
From silent streets to crowded parade routes lined with people waving American flags. From empty stadiums and arenas to fans back in their seats cheering together again. From families pressing hands against a window to grandparents hugging their grandchildren once again. We're back traveling again. We're back seeing one another again. Businesses are opening and hiring again.
Not really. They're trying to hire. They can't hire because, again, the government. They can't hire people because the government. By the way, interesting thought for you here. We have a little barbecue restaurant up the street from our house, and I bought some food from them for our 4th of July celebration. And as I was placing the order, the guy said to me, look, prices have gone up. They're a little crazy right now, but our costs are up too. I said, yeah, I'm sure everybody's, you know, I'm hearing that from everybody. No worries. I understand how it goes. And he made this point. He said, well, you know, the thing is, the government is paying people, and this is the owner of the business. And he says, the government's paying people to stay at home. They don't have to work to make their money. I said, yeah, sure. Won't argue that. And he said, so think about that. Think about that. If you're the guy that makes the chicken, because we were talking specifically about there's a chicken wing shortage, I was buying brisket, and he told me brisket is up 300%, 400%. 300 to 400% for brisket. He said, it's not that the goods are so hard to come by. It's that the fact that the people that provide the goods don't have the workforce to provide it. And the workforce they do have is having to work 60 to 70 to 80 hours a week. And they're paying those people time and a half. Hence, the cost of doing business has doubled for these people. So they double their costs. They sell it to the middleman. The middleman's cost has doubled. He puts his 30% on it. And now I'm at 230 to 300% before I have to put my 30% on it to sell it to you. That's incredible. And so now we've got that going on because the government, because Biden has created this problem. Gas prices are increasing. Coca-Cola, General Mills, both saying cost of food is going to go up across the board. The cost of their commodities are going up across the board. Your sodas are going up. Your general food items are going to increase in price as the year goes on. You think that $1,200 was something. You think that $3,600 was something, whatever it was you got as Biden was doling out the cash, the $800 a month he's talking about giving families now for their kids or whatever, it's like $500 per kid or something like that. Is that right? I don't know, $200 per kid. Anyway, whatever it is per kid you're getting, and you think that's money in your pocket, be smart be smart enough to know that that means the cost of everything else, just as I just explained, everything else, the cost is going to rise and your money's going to be worth less than it was the day you got it. So don't get too excited. Don't get too excited. It says the old saying goes, if everybody's a millionaire, a loaf of bread is 100 grand, right? Because they're going to get it from you. They're going to get it from you because their cost of everything has gone up. Now the cost of everything goes up. So there's everybody applauding tyranny, by the way. I would note that in my life, none of that really happened. None of it really happened, except the grandparent part. Again, government in the way. When my grandma got COVID, she had to go to a Medicare, Medicaid facility. And so you can say that that's a government-subsidized facility. They were terrible at what they did, and they made her worse. I stand by that. They made her much, much worse than she was when she went in. She kicked COVID. They wouldn't let us in to see her. We literally had to go and carry her out because they had failed to give her any of the multiple medications she's supposed to take in a day. And she was there for, what, like a week? Maybe a week and a half, and they gave her no medication. So she couldn't move. She could barely move coming out of there. So that's what the government does to you. That's how little the government employees care about you. If somebody's job is subsidized by the government, they know they don't have to give a flying flip in order to keep it. That's how they're going to treat your grandmother. That's how they treated mine. So the government is the reason for things falling apart. Private industry would have maintained had the government not interceded and stifled it because it was afraid of a disease. Now, the other point to make is that the government was likely never afraid of the disease because the government knew all along. The people in power knew all along. This is not a lethal disease to the extent that they played it up to be. You still have a survivability rate of something like 98.5%. It's crazy how likely you are. And if you're young and relatively healthy, you're basically 100% likely to survive. Young, healthy people aren't dying from the coronavirus. It's not a thing. Kids aren't transmitting it to each other. There was never a reason to shut the schools down, except that once people relinquish control to the government knows it keeps it in perpetuity. It never gives it back. We'll never get open and free schools back now. Your kids, if you choose to send them to public schools, are always at the whim of the elected officials who can apparently make them put masks on that we now know make them more sick, that causes mask mouth. It corrodes your teeth and gums. It wreaks havoc on your respiratory system. We know these things are facts now. The science, which Biden said, which I thought was such a funny, he tried to slight the founders, right? And he goes, well, America, in the beginning we had an idea, and now we have science. I don't know what that means. I can guarantee you, 100,000%, every author of the Declaration of Independence studied more science in their lifetime than Joe and Jill Biden combined ever will. Dr. Jill Biden, mind you. Those men studied science much more in depth than the Bidens ever will. Maybe not chemistry to the extent that Hunter Biden has, but general sciences, astronomy and alchemy and all that stuff, they got those guys going. They were into it. These were incredibly intelligent people. That's why the Declaration of Independence is so well crafted. That's why it's so amazing, is these were incredibly smart people. These were geniuses. It was a group of geniuses who said men should be able to live free. And by men, mankind, ladies. Mankind inherently is created to be free. And by the way, no Juneteenth without July 4th. Wouldn't happen. So there were arguments about that, by the way. We can get into that at a later date. It's why the Three-Fifths Clause exists. That's why the Constitution was hard to get through. It's why, by the way, the Declaration of Independence had a pause, is because they wanted, Jefferson originally had references to slavery in it, and that the abolition of slavery was necessary. It was necessary to form this new nation. Jefferson had has a quote that basically says, I tremble. And I'm paraphrasing, but he essentially said, I tremble when I realize that God is just and that his mercy cannot sleep forever. And he was saying that in reference to the American sin of slavery. He knew it was wrong. By the way, since we're talking about Jefferson and slavery, you do understand there's zero and I mean zero factual evidence to suggest that he fathered any children with Sally Hemings, the slave on his property. Not that he was right to own slaves in the first place, but this myth that he had a child with Sally Hemings is actually from the fact that it would appear one of his nephews had children with Sally Hemings. But I digress. There's a great book called The Jefferson Lies and another book called The Real Thomas Jefferson that both address that, that show that a member of his family did have a physical relationship with Hemings, and that was documented, but it wasn't him. Anyway, that all came, I think, from Zinn's book, by the way, The People's Guide to United States History, I think it's called, and he put that in there, and that's where it developed, and it's refutable, but it's also not provable. It's just something that's now taught and accepted, almost like the cherry tree. Just somebody said it, everybody believes it, and they pass it on. Kind of like Benjamin Franklin and his 13 illegitimate children. Not a real thing. Not a real thing. And he didn't have syphilis. And by the way, he never said that beer exists because it's or beer is proof that God loves man and wants him to be happy. That's not something he said. Something people make up, and they passed it along. Anyway, I'm off the rails here. The point is this. The Declaration of Independence was written by incredibly smart men who recognized the need for people to be free. And you have a president now who, I'll play this next clip. You listen when he tells you that it's now patriotic to be vaccinated. Patriotic to be vaccinated. Remember, men who knew that all men and women are created equal and should be free. And this man is taking a slide to them and saying, well, they had an idea, but we have science. They had an idea, we have science. But the government hasn't followed the science at all, ever throughout this pandemic. It's ignored it. And in fact, the guy in charge of it all is a known liar. Fauci is a liar. We know Fauci lied. We know he moved the goalposts because he felt like people were gullible, and he felt like he had to keep lying so that people would do what he wanted them to do. That man's a tyrant. And we all know what should happen to tyrants. And he deserves everything he gets. It's coming to him. He should be prosecuted and put in prison for the things he did. But here's Biden telling you, run out and get that experimental vaccine. It's patriotic.
Don't get me wrong. COVID-19 has not been vanquished. We all know powerful variants have emerged, like the Delta variant. But the best defense against these variants is to get vaccinated.
By the way, wait. Did you hear him cough? Do we know that? Is there a peer-reviewed study, and I'm sincerely asking, I can't find it, but is there a peer-reviewed study that says the existing vaccines, which are causing heart inflammation, it's causing people to get deathly ill, some people to die, I believe half of the Israeli population that now has the Delta variant was fully vaccinated. Is there a peer-reviewed study that says these existing vaccines protect against variants, that they protect against the Delta variant? I don't believe there is. If there is, I'd like to hear about it. Continue, Joe.
My fellow Americans, it's the most patriotic thing you can do. So please, if you haven't gotten vaccinated, do it. Do it now. Yourself.
Right.
For your loved ones. For your community. And for your country.
Shut up, Joe. All right, listen, let me ask you a question. Food prices are increasing. Cost of goods are up across the board, right? The left and Biden, we can just use Biden specifically. Biden specifically has said that climate change is a worse threat than ISIS, right? And he's also said that his goal is to get people to eat less red meat, right? Like he wants you to have one burger a month or something like that. Remember that crazy thing where he's like, if people to eat less red meat, that's a way we can combat climate change. Cost of food is rising. Cost of goods is rising. The government wants you to eat less to save the environment. Couldn't the argument logically be made that soon the government will tell you, much like China does, to stop having more than one child per household? And let's listen back to it and tell me you can't hear Joe Biden saying, take out vaccinated and make it sterilized. Make it where he says, if you've already got a child, You have a happy home. Nobody needs more than one child in their home, just like they don't need more than 10 rounds in a magazine. See, if you only have one child, then you really only need about 6 rounds to defend yourself and your family, because there's only 3 people, 2 rounds per person. You should be good. So we can move everybody to revolvers. We can get weapons of war off the street, and you and your family can live in the cleanest, most pristine environment you could imagine. If only you and your loved ones would get sterilized. There's no more patriotic thing you can do than to get the snip, snip, or the tubes tied.
Don't get me wrong.
Don't get me wrong.
COVID-19 overpopulation
has not been vanquished.
We all know powerful variants have emerged.
We all know like powerful sperm is out there.
But the best defense
but
against
the best defense against that
is to get vaccinated.
Is to get sterilized. I mean, it's not far-fetched. I know I'm being pretty tongue-in-cheek, but it's not far-fetched. The man is a lunatic, and he's a tyrant. And I'm not saying tyrant loosely. I am telling you that the Declaration of Independence said about King George, a prince whose character is marked in every way by acts that define a tyrant, is not fit to lead a free people. That's not their exact words. Here's their exact words. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Now, here's a phrase that they used in the Declaration of Independence, verbatim. Now, assent means to agree with, okay? We think assent, we think climb up a mountain. That's A-S-C. This is A-S-S-E-N-T. All right, assent. He has refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent could be obtained. Listen, unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. This is the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, on Fox and Friends in the morning, explaining how they can no longer have fireworks at Mount Rushmore. Can you believe that? The one state that told the federal government to kick rocks when it came to COVID and the shutdowns and the government overreach, that one state suddenly can't do fireworks at America's monument to the founders.
We had fireworks at Mount Rushmore for years. It wasn't until President Obama came into office that they took it away. He made the decision to pull it based on environmental concerns. So as soon as I became governor, even I wasn't even sworn in yet, I had a conversation with President Trump and said, would you ever help us get back our celebration at America's monument, the one that recognizes the importance of our founding fathers, that celebrates our independence and freedoms? And he said, you want fireworks and you want me to help you? And I said, yes. And he said, I'll do it. Took us a year and a half to do all of the environmental studies, to do the backburning necessary to protect the area from fire danger. And we did every single requirement that was laid out in the protocols to get the celebration back. And Lawrence, I hope you watched it last year. Yeah, it was fantastic.
It was.
In the middle of a pandemic, at Mount Rushmore on July 3rd, the country unified. We saw riots and violence happening in every other state, and South Dakota stepped up and hosted a celebration of people that love this country and were peacefully gathering to recognize how unique this country is. So we want to do that every year.
What changed, Governor? What is driving this? Because, you know, I've heard a lot about the environmental concerns. You addressed those concerns.
We did.
I've heard you talk about the game day action plan for if something goes wrong, that you can pull the cord on that.
Yep.
Why is that different for this year?
It's not. Biden just decided not to let us have it.
Oh, nothing's different. Nothing's different. They did everything they needed to do to protect whatever Smurf squirrel is up there that the environmental wackos want to protect. They did the controlled burns to make sure the underbrush was cleared out and they could have their fireworks and not cause a huge, massive wildfire. Trump, cool with it. Was there any harm done? No, they've been doing it for years. Biden? Uh-uh. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. Why? Why? Because that woman said people ought to be free to rule themselves. And Biden is a tyrant by the very definition of the Declaration of Independence. So you can think, man, Chris is just being hyperbolic about Biden. He's not really a tyrant. It's not that bad. But you can't say that and agree with the sentiment of the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence. You can't. You can't. And really, frankly, the same could be said for Trump. Because with the stroke of a pen, Trump, like an idiot, Trump turned people into felons for owning a firearms accessory that now the courts have said, actually, that doesn't make it a machine gun. Like, nice try. Nice try, Mr. Trump. But that doesn't make it a machine gun. But Trump wanted it to be a machine gun because it was politically expedient for him to do that. And it's just the way it went. It was a bump stock ban that shouldn't have gone into effect, but Trump fought for it and pushed it through. So he was no friend of the Second Amendment either. You could take this back at least a couple decades and apply it to everybody that's been in office. The perversion of presidential power is extraordinary in the United States. And we need to get to the ballot box and we need to get our heads together and decide, by the way, that the two-party system isn't working, that what it is one big coordinated circus, and we're being fleeced by those people. That would be awesome. Okay, let me fill you in on a quick something, and then we're going to do... then we'll do VOTA. So real quick, we'll go through these two. Gwen Berry turned her back on the national anthem, put a shirt over her head. I don't remember what the shirt said. Something about being an activist for black people, which is cool. That's good. If that's what you want to do, you think, you know, there deserves to be jobs created so that you can go out and say one race deserves to be treated differently than every other race, go right ahead and do it. I'm going to read these. She uses words I don't like to use. But they're in here, and so I'm going to read it to you as she wrote it, but just know that, like, I don't like using the word retarded. I think we can do better than that. It's become such a derogatory term towards people, and those that have lived around, worked with, and been friends with people with mental disabilities, I think become sensitive to it. I'm sensitive to it, and so I don't like it, but it's in here, and, and funny enough, look in the mirror, you know, look in the mirror, Gwen. You want to talk about people being racists and being mentally impaired? Well, that's you. That's you through and through in every way. Here's Gwen Berry tweeting. On July 30th of 2011, she said, "White people are so retarded when they're drunk." On October 11th, 2012, and by the way, if you got kids with you, for some reason that are listening to this, they're probably asleep by now, but come back to this part later, okay? Gwen Berry on October 11th, 2012 said, quote, "I'm about to rape my lunch." I don't even know what that means, but that's what she said. June 27th of 2011, she said, "This little white boy being bad as hell, I'd smack his ass then stomp him, shake my head. White people kids, hella disrespectful." March 21st, 2012, she said, "Shout out to all the females that's going to get drunk, get wrecked by four dudes, then cry rape this weekend." What happened? Gwen, believe all women, Gwen. Believe all women. Gwen, how dare you? Anyway, and then November 1st of 2012, she said, "Mexicans just don't care about people. Mexicans just don't care about people." On April 29th of 2011, Gwen Berry, who turned her back on the national anthem because of racism in America, said, "Just saw this girl wearing heels with white socks. Chinese people always try to start new trends. Shake my head, girl." Now, I don't have to do that hypothetical thing where we say, can you imagine? Can you imagine if Michael Phelps? Can you imagine if Michael Phelps had said black people, their kids are so disrespectful? Right, we know that. We know you're not allowed to do that anymore, right? Like, it's such an easy thing to go to, is to say, "Oh, you flip the coin, look at the other side. How would they react?" We know how they would react. There's only one thing people care about anymore, and that's stringing up white, straight males and making sure that they are the bad guy as often as possible. But here's what's funny to me. Gwen Berry, Gwen Berry has proven herself to be a class A hypocrite, okay? You cannot be this racist and this cavalier about racial stereotypes and then get up and pretend to care about racism. You just can't do it. You can't do it. It's like, you see Chris Hansen has an arrest warrant out for him now, like in Wisconsin or something crazy. I don't even remember what it was for, but it wasn't what I thought it was going to be for because I checked it. He was, if you don't remember, he was the To Catch a Predator host, right? He was the guy that, why don't you come in and have a seat? Come on in and have a seat. What are you doing with all that stuff in your bag? Are you on AOL as Loverboy 735? Is that you, Loverboy? You know, and then the guy's all crying and stuff. Don't tell my wife. But then they do tell his wife, and that's the best part. Anyway, it's like when I heard there was an arrest warrant out for him, I said to myself, dude, if it's for something to do with that, that's going to be rich. But it was not, which is good, by the way. Like, it was not like I wanted there to be another crime against children out there. But I felt that way when I found out Gwen Berry was a racist, is what I'm saying. I thought, it's the same anticipation. You think, so the girl who decries racism, this is her rally cry, this is her thing. She's out there, and she's blowing the trumpet and pounding the drum about racism in America. You are the problem. You want to end racism in America? Shut up. It's that easy. Stop existing. It's that easy, because that is when racism would really, you know, you'd have one less racist in the world. In America specifically, Gwen, in America specifically, one less racist. Pick any country in the world. You hate us so much. As the saying goes, it's very cliche, but just do it. Pick any country in the world and go live there, and then America will have one less racist. That'd be great. That'd be great. Hey, speaking of racists, Captain America. Captain America. At what point do we just have to decide we can't do this anymore? It's so weird. You know, I'm a dad of a kid. I've never seen Star Wars. I don't like X-Men movies. Super, you know, I'm a Batman diehard. Seen every Batman they've ever created. I even went and saw Joaquin Phoenix play Joker and was compelled by the origin story of Joker that they used. Albeit, you know, and I'm not a comic book reader. I've never really gotten into comic books. I have a really good friend who is a diehard comic book guy. And so, you know, I'd sometimes kind of latch on to him, and we'd go to these shops and we'd talk storylines, and I'd get to hear, you know, the different approaches they were taking to superheroes. So I say that to say that I didn't really understand the origin story of the Joker as told through the Joker. But maybe that's in the comics somewhere. I don't know. But at what point do we get really serious about the fact that we have to just give these things up? We have to give them up. And I guess the point I was making is it's hard as a dad because I have a six-year-old son who just came out of the womb. And this is literally, so this is true what happened. He's born 6 weeks early. He had to spend 2 weeks in the NICU, which is the neonatal intensive care unit. And that was really tough. That's a really tough thing. And we came, he was born late October, but before Halloween, and we walked in on Halloween Day, and it turns out there's a charity that knits outfits for the NICU babies, and I don't know if somebody told him, I still don't know if that's a thing, but I'm a Batman guy, and they had knit him a Batman costume, and that was just really cool. It was cool to walk in, and he had this Batman costume. And I don't know if that's where it came from. I don't know how he got steered in his direction, but he is a, man, he's just an advocate for superheroes. He can tell you all of them. 6 years old, it's his world. It's his world. I'd never seen Star Wars. I mean, I probably watched it at some point, but I'd never really cared about the storyline or trying to piece it all together. Somehow he discovered Darth Vader. He got really into it, and now we watch Star Wars and The Mandalorian and all that kind of stuff that, it's just not really, it wouldn't be my thing without him. Does that make sense? It wouldn't be my thing without him. But the point I'm trying to make here is it becomes really hard as a dad because here's the thing that he enjoys. Did you hear about Loki, by the way? Did you know this? Disney Plus has a Loki story going, and we watched, and I'm not, I try to not be dumb about it, When they first announced Loki, I love Owen Wilson. I think the Wilson brothers are fantastic. I've seen nearly everything they've ever done, especially the Royal Tenenbaums. I thought the Royal Tenenbaums was incredible. I love indie films like that. I loved the Royal Tenenbaums. Doesn't matter. Owen Wilson is in Loki. I was really excited I was hopeful that it would be good and that Owen Wilson would be Owen Wilson, and he certainly is. He lives up to everything you expect out of Owen Wilson. And so we start watching it. And what I try to do is anytime there's a new show like that, obviously you have to watch it first. And so we watched the first two, my wife and I did, and there wasn't anything really bad about them. A couple swear words in there, but kids don't really pick those up if they're kind of peppered throughout. So I didn't feel anything bad about that. So we watched the first two. We're waiting on the third. The kids are asking when's the third coming. They're kind of into it. It's a really cool concept, by the way, what they're doing with Loki. And then, lo and behold, they announced that Loki's going to come out as bisexual in episode number 3. Because that matters. Because somehow that advances the storyline. It doesn't at all. And by the way, it was in such a mundane way. The kids would have never known. They would have never understood what they were saying. They would have never understood what was being said there. But you just can't continue down that path. Like if you know that the people you're with are going to play that dangerous game up ahead of you, you get out of the way. You say, we're gonna put distance between us and them. Because there's no reason. Like, kids ask a lot of questions, and they're more attentive than we think. And so when that comes and those phrases are said and the kids ask, what does that mean? Then you're in a position, much like if you remember, or maybe you never heard, there's a game called Roblox that kids play for free. It is a children's game. Adults aren't playing this game. It's made for kids. And it's a free online multiplayer game. And I went in and I monitor it as my kids play it. And I went in to check it out with them. And they had pride flags and they had transgender flags that they were encouraging kids to take and wear. And they were free. You didn't have to use your money to get these things. They wanted to give them to you for free so you could put them on your character and display them. And that was the day. And there's a real lesson here for the rest of the world. I had to explain to my boys, 8 and 6 years old respectively, essentially what transgender people are, because they had the flag. And I was like, whoa, no, take it off, delete it, whatever you got to do. And do not deal with those. And so obviously they're, what the heck, Dad? Like, you know, these things are, you know, everybody's got them and we got to be cool and have them too. What is it? And so I said to them, those are flags that indicate that you're a man who likes to dress in girl clothes and insist that everyone call you by a girl name. And I kid you not, on my life, my six-year-old turned around with a face I wish I could have gotten on film. Like, just the crumpled up nose and the brow furrowed down. He was like, what? And I said, if you want the people on this game to think that you're a boy who wears girl clothes and insists people pretend you are a girl, you wear that flag. And they were like, no. By the way, it's not like we preach against that in our house. It's not like we've ever had a conversation about what that even is in our house. That's just what it is. That's the way the world is now. And with a simple explanation of exactly who these people are, kids, without any provocation of anything, were like, no, that's weird. Not natural. Got to get away from that. So my point being, it's hard to know as a parent when you have to cut all that off. Just ahead of Independence Day, according to Breitbart.com, Marvel Comics is featuring a new Captain America issue in which the Captain slams the American dream as a false promise. The first issue of the new series, titled The United States of Captain America, by writer Christopher Cantwell, was published on June 30th, only 4 days before our country celebrates its Day of Independence from Great Britain. As the issue begins, Steve Rogers, the original captain, grouses about how America is built on, quote, lies, saying, quote, I'm loyal to nothing except the dream. Here's the thing about a dream, though. A dream isn't real. I'm starting to think America actually has two dreams and one lie. The first American dream is the one that isn't real. It's one some people expect to just be handed to them. And when they get angry, and then they get angry when it disappears, when the truth is, it never really existed in the first place. Let's unpack that for just a second, by the way. The American dream is real. The problem is, it's not handed to people. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's like saying, I think gold is real, and if I sit on my couch, eventually I'll get some gold. No, you have to go out and actually work and dig and mine and sift for the gold. You can go find gold in America if you're willing to do the work. But if you sit on the couch, it won't come. That doesn't make it a lie. Is that circular logic? I think he's using circular logic. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's dumb, and they're using it. Captain America goes on to say that the dream of the white picket fences is a lie that doesn't get along nicely with reality, saying, quote, other cultures, immigrants, the poor, it doesn't get along nicely with them, is what he's saying. Again, not necessarily true. Have you been to government-subsidized housing lately? Pretty nice-looking stuff. It really is. Like, until you give it a generation. You give it a generation. When you give people things, they don't take care of it. But when it's new, it's nice. If they would take care of their stuff, it'd still be nice. People just choose not to because it's not theirs. They didn't pay for it. They didn't earn it. So they don't care about it. That's nature. It's the way the world works. Rogers goes on to take a swipe at those who favor tougher immigration laws, saying, quote, we're at our best when we keep no one out. A good dream is shared, shared radically, shared with everyone. When something isn't shared, it can become the American lie. That's really a lot like a Biden speech because it doesn't really make any sense. Sounds nice if you really don't think about it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. What does it mean to say that a good dream is shared, but if it's not shared, it becomes a lie? What does that even mean? Like, what are your dreams in life? Well, I'd like to go do this. I want to start my own business and be successful. Well, have you shared that dream with anyone? Well, no. I mean, I want to start my business and be successful. But you haven't shared that with anyone. No, well, no, I haven't. I mean, I'm telling you. Then it's a lie. It's a lie. That doesn't make any sense, Frank. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, there's that. So just be aware. The comics hate you. They hate you. And these mega corporations that we spend our money supporting every time. I mean, Disney Plus, you go to the movies, whatever it is, we're supporting them. Comes a point, we're going to have to cut it all off. Like popular culture, like I don't have an answer for you. Just asking. What's that point going to be where we all get together and we say, it's really jumped the shark here and we have to stop supporting people who hate us. Our money is going to fund projects for people who absolutely think we're the devil. I don't know. All right, let's do our vote. It's me. You know, boys.
I'm an ambitious officer.
One voter. Yeah. Everybody knows the rules.
I need to be a part of the 100 Club.
Okay. At the outset of Chris being voted this week, let me just tell you that I take full responsibility for what happened. 100% full responsibility. But there is some important context, and it's not being used to blame anyone. It's just going to be used to frame the story. Can I be very clear about that? Is that clear enough? I'm going to tell you exactly what happened from step one to the grand finale, and then you can choose. You can choose if I'm making excuses or not. So it's 4th of July. Everybody's a wimp, so they all did their fireworks on the 3rd of July because I guess you got to get up the next morning. Like, you don't have to get up on Sunday morning, I guess, for people, so they're comfortable doing them on Saturday night. Sunday was a bridge too far. To do it on the actual day that we historically celebrate it, don't. And by the way, let me stop for a second. I'm going to share the VOTA trophy with any Nimrod who's going around to people's social media posts and saying, don't say July 4th, say Independence Day. Shut up. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear from you. That is the most absurd thing I saw all weekend, is people showing up on multiple posts and saying, it's Independence Day. If you're that person and I see you doing it, I'm going to write your name down and I'm going to become friends with you, or I'm going to follow you, or whatever the case may be on that social media site. And then when Christmas comes and you're running around telling everybody Merry Christmas, I'm going to show up and I'm going to go, you mean Jesus's birthday? You mean Jesus's birthday? Why are you saying Jesus's birthday? Because you hate Jesus? It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I didn't know there was this section of society that this is what they do, but they do it, and it's dumb. It's about as dumb as that dude recently, what's his face, that got the Palin girl pregnant. Seems like a good guy. It's Dakota Meyer. You know, the stolen valor, if you go out and train with any gear on. If you go out and shoot your gun and you wear gear, Dakota Meyer thinks you're committing stolen valor because he doesn't believe, apparently, that every American has the right to keep and bear arms the way the military does. Thanks for your service, but that's not a good line of thinking. Anyway, that's how I feel about those who showed up and trolled everybody on social media posts saying, it's Independence Day. Shut up. Shut up. We know. We get it. One and the same. Tomato, tomato. Okay? Yeah. And by the way, it proves how good life really is. It proves how good life really is in America when that is the thing you have to worry about. There's other things happening in the world that deserve your attention. But this is what's got it. Good for you. That's nice. Okay, it's July 4th. My oldest son and I go on a bike ride, right, on Sunday. Saw a woman walking a raccoon on a leash. That's not a joke. So that was fun. We get done with the bike ride. We're going to go to my parents' house and we're going to celebrate the 4th. And like I said, we'd bought brisket. I made some mac and cheese. We had a watermelon. It's going to be a good time. The short version of why Chris is voted is this. We go to the fireworks stand and I say to the guy at the fireworks stand, look, we got a bunch of little kids. Okay. Like 8 years old and under. And I want to just show them like bright colors, but no big explosions. I don't want to bug the neighbors. I don't want to be that guy. And the guy's like, okay. I said, so what can we get that's like, you know, going to stay on the ground, have bright colors? And he starts helping me shop around. And we buy all of our fireworks and we go over to my parents' house. And we start setting stuff off, you know, Roman candles. We got sparklers. We're having a good time. Kids are enjoying it. And then I pull out this thing that the guy had, and I'm not blaming the guy. I'm not blaming the guy. I take full responsibility because what I should have done is I should have just Googled like family fireworks or something. I should have done some research here. I pull this thing out and I read the caution on the back and it says put it on a level surface and there is a chance it could tip to the side. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. I lit this firework and it starts, the first one shoots out. And this is why I was telling you what I told the guy. And I was so grateful because my parents' neighbor is over and she has her very young daughter who had never really handled fireworks before. We gave her some sparklers, and she had a good time. And I had walked over to her at the beginning of it all, and I said, hey, just so you know, I told the guy, we don't want anything that's big and loud and going to scare a bunch of kids, so everything should be mellow and just colors. And so we got the first few things out, and it's exactly what they were, the ones that worked right. Half of them were duds, but the ones that worked right were just big showers of sparks, and we thought, well, this is perfect. So then I get this other one out. It says put it on a flat, even surface, you know, don't let it tip over. And so I set it down in the road, right in the middle of the road, and I light it, and that thing goes off, and it's like, boom! And the first thing, I kid you not, in my head I say to myself, well, that is not what I wanted. And I think, how many of those are there going to be? And I look down at it, and a second one goes off, and it tips it onto its side, facing down the road. The third one goes off and it shoots down the road and explodes. Like to a degree that had a car been coming, they'd have been really mad. Now they weren't like huge explosions. So I didn't feel like, oh my gosh, we're about to kill anybody. But I did think, this is not good. So I look back down at it. This all happened. I mean, the whole thing takes 15 to 20 seconds. I look back down at it to see which way it's facing, because now in my head I'm thinking, don't let it face the kids. So I actually put my foot on it and aimed it towards a ditch. And the next one goes off into the ditch, boom, and it bounces off the ditch and up over my parents' neighbor's house across the street. Boom, goes off right above their carport. But then the final one comes, and I kid you not, it explodes out of it and hits their front window directly and shatters the window. And boy, I felt like an idiot. And I ran over, like, I watched it. How you can just kind of tell it's over. You're hoping it's over. But it hit that window and shattered. And I knew it was done. And I ran over and I bang on the door. Guy comes out. He's like, "What happened?" We explain it. He kind of shrugged it off. Like, "Well, accidents happen." I felt terrible. I said, "Man, I'll pay for all of it. Is everybody okay?" He was like, yeah, we're fine. It's just, rattled everybody, I'm sure. He didn't say that. I'm making that up. Shattered his window. And I have to tell you, that was the end of the fireworks. obviously, it was 10 o'clock anyway. But the show was over. And we got in the car, and I did, maybe it's a boomer thing, but obviously, we sit around, we decompress for a little while. I'm like, I can't believe it even happened. But I do have to say that the first thing I thought was, how are those even legal? Like, how is it legal to go out and buy something that could destroy your neighbor's window like that? But everybody was fine. Nobody was hurt. That's all that really matters. It could be much, much worse. Somebody else out there, I know for a fact, I read some stories this weekend about what was happening down in Miami. So we can be happy that none of our loved ones were hurt. We had a good time. And I'm the VOTA. So hopefully that's the last time I ever have to do it, but it probably won't be. Hey, appreciate you hanging around for the hour. We'll come back next week. I didn't get to it this time, but next week we're going to sit down and solve all the world's problems. If you'll come back for episode number 151 of the Felt Recoil Podcast. More information at feltrecoilshow.com. Make sure you subscribe, leave a review, tell a friend. We love you for it.